Welcome to Bethlehem Covenant Church's sermon podcast. We pray that you will be blessed as you listen to this message.
Good morning, Bethlehem Covenant Church. Thanks so much for joining us here on this Sunday after Easter, April 12th. Hope you had a wonderful week. Wonderful things have been happening here at the church. We're back going on into all of our programs. We had taken that week off for Holy Week, and those are all back and going on. We had a wonderful kickoff at the new Cove expansion. There was a concert and an event over there for the youth groups, and that all went wonderful. We're really thankful for everything going on there. A few announcements as we begin today. One is we've started over the next two Sundays here, Day Without Shoes collection and program for People City Mission. Bring in all of your used or new shoes, and there's a big bin in the church here. You can bring them on in and put them in, even if they're in really bad shape. They do recycle some of that, and it can still be used. So bring in all your shoes the next couple weeks. And then we also have a ladies' tea going to happen on Saturday, April 25th at 10 a.m. And this is the second annual one. Last year was such a big hit that they're doing it again. You bring your own tea cup, and then we have snacks and tea and a whole bunch of stuff. And there's some great conversation things and some other kind of activities that has been prepared. On our email, you'll see a QR code to respond an RSVP if you can come to that ladies' tea, or you can talk to Caitlin Burrish or Renee Schneider for more information. We're also starting up our registration for Vacation Bible School. It's going to be May 31st to June 4th. It's always a big hit here. This year, we're exploring the nature of God, and the whole church will be decorated like a rainforest. And so that should be fun. We do ours 6 to 8 p.m. every night from Sunday night to Thursday night. So that's May 31 to June 4th. And then if you're new or you want to know more about the church and what kind of stuff we do here and who we are, there's going to be a welcome gathering on Sunday, April 26th at 6 p.m. And we're going to be here at the church, and we're going to have some food and some fellowship and a chance to get to know one another a little better. If you are new and interested in that, please come out. We would be glad to have you. All right, if you have your Bibles, turn with me now over to John chapter 21. John 21, as we look today, staying on with a bit of the Easter theme, to a resurrection appearance that Jesus made to his disciples at the Sea of Galilee, and in particular to Peter, because he had some things he wanted to encourage Peter in. And so as he is risen now, he is coming to meet Peter there on his fishing boat in the Sea of Galilee. Very important chapter, John 21, verses 1 to 19. And I'm going to read it. It says this: "Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way: Simon Peter and Thomas and Nathanael and the sons of Zebedee and two other disciples were together. 'I'm going out to fish,' Peter told them. And they said, 'We'll go with you.' So they went out and they got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples didn't realize that it was him. He called out to them, 'Friends, haven't you any fish?' They answered, 'No.' He said, 'Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and there you will find some.' When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It is the Lord.' And as soon as Peter heard him say, 'It is the Lord,' he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and he jumped right into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they weren't far from shore, only about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw the fire of burning coals there with fish on it already and some bread. Jesus said to them, 'Bring some of the fish that you have just caught.' And so Simon Peter climbed back onto the boat and he dragged that net ashore, and it was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. And then Jesus said to them, 'Come and have breakfast.' None of the disciples dared ask, 'Who are you?' For they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and he took some of the bread and he gave it to them, and he did the same with the fish. And this was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus came over right to Simon Peter, and he said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." And then a third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. For very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself, you went wherever you wanted, but when you are old, you'll stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to him, "Follow me." This is one of my favorite resurrection scriptures. It is when Jesus appears here for the third time to his disciples, but it seems that he mostly comes for Peter to restore his leader, remind him of who he is and what Jesus had called him to do, shepherd God's people. Jesus seems to appear in this chapter, I would say, mostly for Peter's sake. Now, why? Because Peter is his leader. Peter was the first one to confess that Jesus was the Messiah and to believe in him. And at that time, Jesus said to Peter, or it was called Simon at the time, "From now on," he said, "you'll be called Peter, for upon this rock I will build my church." Peter had a call on his life. He was going to be the leader to help lead the others and spread the gospel to all nations. But right now, what we see in this chapter is that he is off mission. He is off call. He's kind of lost. He's gone back to fishing. He's returned to that fishing boat. The nets that he dropped 3 years ago, he picked up again. He's getting back to business. He's going back to his old life before Jesus, and he has just taken six of the disciples with him. Why? I don't know. Maybe Peter felt like he was a failure after denying Jesus three times and no longer worthy to be that guy. I don't know. Maybe Peter is afraid. He watched Jesus be crucified, and maybe he's afraid he's next. Maybe Peter thinks it's over. Jesus is risen and they've seen him, and that's all wonderful. But what does it mean for them now? How can they continue to go out and do ministry without Jesus with them like he was before? I mean, Jesus was the preacher. Who's going to preach now? Jesus was the healer. They all followed whatever Jesus said and did. What does that look like now? All of the other disciples are looking to Peter for the answers, but Peter doesn't have any. So he runs back to what he knows. He tells them, "I'm going fishing." And six of the disciples say, "Okay, we'll go with you." But that night, that first night out, it says they catch nothing. When early in the morning, Jesus appears then on the shore, and he calls them friends, and he says, "Haven't you any fish? Throw your net on this side of the boat, and you'll find some." And as soon as they do, the nets are instantly filled with 153 fish, it says. And then seeing this miracle, John says to Peter, "It is the Lord." And Peter just jumps right into the water, and he swims and he runs to Jesus. Now, you maybe already know this, but this is a repeat miracle in Peter's life. Jesus had already done this miracle for him once, the time when he first met Peter. We read that in Luke chapter 5, the story of how Peter first met Jesus, and it is almost identical. In Luke 5, we read that Peter had spent all night fishing and caught nothing. But in the morning, as he's putting away his nets, all discouraged and defeated, Jesus is right there. And he's preaching on the shore. And he turns to Peter, and he gets into Peter's boat, and he says, "Won't you row out one more time for a catch?" Now, Peter didn't want to go. He was tired. He'd spent the whole night fishing, and he had caught nothing out there. He didn't think there was any fish out there. But in faith, he obeys Jesus. He says to Jesus, "We haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I'll go out one more time." This time, Peter goes out with Jesus in the boat. And as soon as Peter lets down his nets, they instantly fill with fish. All night, nothing. But with Jesus, Peter caught so many fish, the nets began to break. And when they hauled them in, that one catch, it says in Luke 5, filled two boats. And Peter knew it was because of Jesus. Jesus was the difference from nothing all night long to more than he could imagine that morning. So we read in Luke 5 that when Peter sees this, he falls to his knees on that boat and he says to Jesus, "Away from me, Lord, I'm not worthy. I'm a sinner." But Jesus says to Peter, "Follow me and I'm going to make you a fisher of men." And it says that Peter made a decision that day to follow Jesus, and he dropped his nets and he left his boat and he became a disciple, and he soon became the leader of the 12. Well, in John 21, what we're seeing here, what we're reading after the resurrection, is Jesus doing part two. He's doing a repeat miracle in Peter's life. For that night, Peter and the disciples catch nothing, and in the morning, Jesus is on the shore, and as soon as they follow his direction, the nets fill with fish. And that's why John says, "It's the Lord. Peter, we've seen this before. That is Jesus." And Peter knows it too. And so he jumps out of the boat and he runs to him. Now, I don't know if you have realized this in your own life, but I have realized it in mine. God is so faithful to us. Even when we are not faithful, he remains faithful. And he's got plans for us. And he's committed to those plans. And when I begin to get off track, Jesus always has a way somehow of showing up in my life at the right time and the right way to remind me of who I am and who he is and the power that accomplishes his purposes in my life. It's not mine. It is his. And if I would just abide in him and follow him and do what he has called me to do, he's going to do something with my life and in my life greater than whatever I could have imagined. He keeps showing up to remind us of who we are. This chapter has been a very important one in my life. God has used this scripture about Peter to speak to me a couple times when I was kind of pretty tired and ready to quit or just needed to be reminded of who fills the nets. The first time the Lord used this scripture in my life to put me back on track was half of my life ago now, 25 years ago. I was so young. I was just starting out. Even before I was a pastor, I was just in training to be one. I was in seminary in Chicago, and things were incredibly difficult. And instead of looking up, I was looking around, and I was just very discouraged. Everybody else in the seminary was smarter than me. They were, looked like they were, going to be great pastors, and they had all those gifts. I didn't see it in me. I was struggling in my classes. My home church in Colorado had rejected me to be their youth pastor, and that was really hard. I thought that was going to be my thing. On top of that, I'm feeling pretty alone there and kind of going crazy in the big city of Chicago and wanted to get out. I mean, anywhere but there. And so I was honestly questioning my call at that point and if I had what it takes. And I had taken some steps already to apply to other jobs. I was going to leave. But before I could, I had signed up for a mission trip to Ecuador many months earlier, and it was coming up, and I knew I needed to commit. I had to go to that. I don't even remember signing up for that mission trip, but I must have. But now looking back, I can see it was all part of God's plan. For the Lord spoke to me so powerfully on that trip. Among the people of the village of El Chaco, Ecuador, I saw in the pastor down there serving of that little church. I saw God's love just working and touching my heart. I saw the people with such joy and compassion and service and grace. They had hardly anything, and yet they were giving it to the Lord, and the Lord was doing all these great things just because they said yes to him. And during the worship service on our closing night down there in that little old broken down church in that village, I felt the Lord just reaching out to touch me, reminding me of who I was and who he was, and that would I say yes to stay in with him because he will fill the nets. And I can't believe that I didn't see that coming because this was also a repeat miracle in my life. The Lord did the same thing in that same place for me years earlier. Just like Peter, the Lord brought me back to the place he first grabbed a hold of my heart because I had been to Ecuador one other time in my life. I went with my parents when I was 12 to see the places of my dad's work at Compassion and the kids that we sponsored, and it totally impacted me at 12 years old as a boy. Jesus grabbed a hold of my young heart with his love and compassion, and one incident in particular that really spoke to me and gave me a vision of who I felt like he wanted me to be. It was in Ecuador when I was only 12. When I first felt that call to love and serve him by helping others, I was 12 in Ecuador, the first time the Lord began to show me of who I was to be. Well, I don't think it was a coincidence that when I wanted to walk away, when I was tired, weary, and discouraged, he brought me back to the very place where it all began. And I never saw it coming. I never put it together until the moment in that worship service. But the Lord never lets us go. He watches over our life. He who began the good work in us will carry it out to completion. We just got to have faith. We got to believe in him, that it will be him who accomplishes that, not us. Our God is good at reminding us. He reminded me of his love and my love and what he called me to do and how he has the power to fill the nets. I don't need to worry. He'll do it. I just need to follow him. And boy, he has done that every day of my life. I changed on that trip. I came back to seminary with a renewed sense of call and faith and the plans that he had for me. I didn't want to go anywhere anymore. I didn't want to quit. I just wanted to be wherever Jesus was. This scripture in John 22 is Jesus meeting Peter where Peter was and reminding him of who he is. Now, there's a few really good verses here I wanted to get us to think a little deeper about today. First one is verse 3, where it says that line, "But that night they caught nothing." Without Jesus, they caught nothing. Not one fish. It doesn't say that night they caught just a little. It says that night they caught nothing. Nothing, not one fish. Jesus had told them in John 15, "I'm the vine, you're the branches. Abide in me, and you'll bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing." Sometimes it's the goodness and the grace of God in our lives that things don't work out, or doing it our way doesn't pay, and we can see it at that time. It's the grace of God sometimes when nothing happens, so that we can see it, that this is not where we're supposed to be. This is not who we are. This is not the way. Later on, looking back, we can see that. At the time, maybe we didn't, but our focus wasn't on Christ. We weren't seeking him first. Nothing was working out, and it's okay when we get to that point, because we learn from nothing, right? It is because Peter caught nothing that Jesus showing up in the morning and filling the nets, he could see the difference, and that it was the Lord, and that he needed the Lord for greater things than just fish. It's the grace of God that is present with us in those tough places when nothing's working out. He doesn't leave us or forsake us there, but he keeps drawing us to him. His mercy is new every morning. He keeps showing up. We see him faithfully present on the shore of our lives after a night of doing it our way and it not working out, our hearts broken and tired and getting nowhere. There he is again, not letting us go, faithfully showing up, saying, friends, haven't you any fish? I know where you can find them if you just turn to me. I want to ask you this question today. Where is your nothing? Maybe you're in a relationship and everything you've tried to do to fix it has come out nothing. And you are ready to just give up. Don't do it. Look to the Lord. Call on him. He is present with you. Look to the shore. Surrender everything to him. Do it now his way, because he knows how to do it. And you'll begin to see the difference, the miracle he wants to do in your life if you would just follow him. When you let him show you and help you, the thing you can't do, he can. Where you can't heal, he can. Where you can't save, he can. Where you can't make it happen, no matter how hard you keep trying, he is the solution. He is the answer. Swallow your pride. Give it back to him. Let him show you the way. Life was meant to be done in relationship with God through Jesus Christ. He is the Savior who can fill the nets. Another time I got to tell you of an example here where the Lord did use this scripture in my life was my first trip off to Israel. I was standing there on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, the very shore where Jesus stood in our scripture. I was there. It was back in 2006, and I had finished seminary by that point. I had met Carrie, my wife, and we got married, and we moved to Alberta for our first church. I'd been in ministry for 5 years, and things were going pretty good. But man, I was getting pretty tired. I was in over my head. I had 2 little babies now, a wife to take care of. I was anxious all the time with church work. I was paralyzed by worry. Every Sunday was so much anxiety and stress. It would begin already on Monday morning. What am I going to preach about the next Sunday? Oh, I would fret over that. How am I going to deal with all these issues in the church and the issues in the people's lives? I was just overwhelmed. But on that trip, perfect timing, in just a private moment there by the Sea of Galilee, reading and praying this very scripture in that sacred spot, I honestly heard the Lord say to me, Dan, I fill the nets. Just keep following me. Just keep loving the people and preaching the word. It doesn't got to be fancy. I'm not expecting you to solve all of the problems or to fix every issue or to know every answer. I've called you simply to love the people and preach the word, and I will always give you something to say. And I want to tell you, that has been a miracle in my life. I don't have the stress like I did. The Lord always gives me something to say. He always turns up to provide what exactly we need. He fills the nets. It's not me. It's not my strength. It's none of that. It's him, and it's his way. It's him. My point is that we can even be on the right path, but we can start to veer by stewing things in our own strength and wisdom. We can start to carry burdens we were never meant to carry. We begin to fear and let that take over in our head or become impatient or even got sin in our life that keeps tripping us up. But he is so faithful. He comes every time to the nothings in our life and our needs, and he speaks. And when we hear his voice and listen and just tell him what we need and that we need his help, and when we surrender to his way, he will give. He will pour out everything we need. He picks us up. For the last 20 years, God has always given me something to say. I've learned to continue that I need not worry, but he is ever over me. And this is his work, not mine. And he makes it happen. And this is a really big deal in my life. At times, you know, I still keep trying my own strength, my own way. And there he keeps showing up, pointing me to his. Maybe there's this in your life where you're operating in your own strength and not his. You're trying to follow Jesus, but you started to carry things that you weren't meant to carry, or you've tried things in your own power, your own understanding, and he wants you to surrender to his. Not your way, but his way. Give it to him. Maybe the answer will come for you quickly, or maybe it'll be after a season of waiting, but it's okay. He sees. He's near. He's not far away. He's a provider. He always has, and he always will. And in the end, I tell you, I look back at those times of struggle in my life and those empty nets, and I thank God now for them. For those are the ways that he taught me and that he showed me. And he always comes. If we'll listen and follow him, he'll show us where to drop the nets and how to do things. And I've learned ministry is done with Jesus, not for Jesus. Without him, I can do nothing, but with him, I can do all things. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I am gentle and humble of heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Second thing, though, in this scripture that really hits me, I wanted to point out, is that Peter jumps into that water. Once he realizes it's Jesus, he doesn't casually take the boat to shore or even haul in the net and worry about tending to the fish. He doesn't care about that thing at all anymore. He's only thinking about one thing, Jesus, and he just jumps all in. This is the heart of Peter and why he's the one that God chose to lead. Christ is number one for him. He's the guy who ran to the tomb, and he's the guy who runs and swims out to Jesus. He does not wait. I just wanted to mention this because, you know, we maybe need to pray for that kind of passion and fire to come into our life and that kind of love for Christ to grow into us. Too often we put the Lord after, you know, after we tend to this thing that needs to get done or that. I'll follow you, but I got to do this all first. I'll serve you, but I got to get this done first. You know, then I will, Jesus. Well, no, not Peter. Peter lives his life Jesus first, Jesus only. Peter jumps in. We see this later on when Jesus asks Peter three times, "Do you love me?" And the first time Jesus asks him, he actually says this. He says, "Peter, do you love me more than these?" And I really think Jesus is saying, "Peter, do you love me more than fishing? More than this life that you've run to and chosen? Are you willing to give it all up for me, Peter?" He called Peter 3 years earlier, and Peter dropped his nets to follow the Lord, but now he's returning to the nets. And so Jesus says, "Do you love me more than Peter?" For me, this is the jump, the real jump. This is Peter saying, "Yes, I'm all in. Not just halfway. I'm all in. I place my life in your hands. Whatever you want from me, God, that's what I'm going to do." You know, there's moments in life where it's like, am I going to jump? There are moments in life when we hear the Lord say, "Do you love me more than?" What's the more than in your life? What's the thing that you keep going back to that isn't God's plan? It isn't good for you. It's not in line with him. What is that thing you still want that may not be good for you? What would it look like for you to jump? To put God completely first, to seek him number one, to love him not halfway, but all way. And maybe you've already done it, so don't overthink it. It's not just some big change that God wants you to do in your life. Most of the time, it's just daily obedience. It's that attitude of the heart. When we wake up, we say, "Lord, thank you for my life and salvation. Is there anything you want me to do today? I'm willing to adjust my schedule, however, to help that person if that's what you want, or to share my faith, or to give to this need, or to forgive that friend, or to love that enemy, or to serve my wife, or to teach my kids. This day I give it all to you, Jesus, to follow you in whatever you want from me. You're not second. You're number one in my life. I jump. I'm all in." And then the last thing I wanted to point out from this scripture is that Jesus asked Peter three times, "Do you love me?" And three times Jesus responds to his, "Yes, I do," with a command: "Feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, feed my sheep." And it is clear in this that Jesus is saying, "If you love me, then do this for me. Peter, I know you love me if you love and take care of those that I love. If you shepherd them, feed them my word." Peter showed his love for Jesus by caring about what Jesus cared about. In my first church, our chairman got cancer and everyone loved him. He was the leader in the heart of that church, a great Christ example. We all prayed for him to be healed, and when it was clear that he was going to die, He wanted to speak at church, and it was so moving. He had such faith and humility. He was weak, but he was strong in the Lord. And the thing that moved me and what he said most was near the end when he said, "Please take care of my family. Look after Judy and the kids for me. I'm going to be fine. I'm going to be with the Lord, but please look after them." Oh my gosh. There wasn't a dry eye in the room. And we knew that how we could love him was by loving and looking after them. Well, this is what Jesus is saying to Peter, and I think to all of us. Jesus is saying, if you love me, then love them. Feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep. This is very similar to Matthew 25, where Jesus talks about the poor and the prisoner and the hungry and the naked and the sick. And then he says, whatever you do for the least of these, you're really doing for me. There seems to be a connection that if we love him, we will love those that he loves. Jesus is telling Peter what his call is, to continue to do what he had been doing, and by the Spirit he would be with him, that he is to shepherd these people, take care of these sheep, for people need the Lord, and we love him by loving them. You know, almost every couple I do counseling with, I give them the Five Love Languages book. I think it's very helpful. It was written over 20 years ago, but it says that we love each other in five main ways: through acts of service, through words, through time spent together, through gifts, and through physical touch. And the point of the book is that we're each wired a little bit differently. We may be married to someone who gives and receives love different than us. And for them, words maybe don't matter that much. But for others, you know, touch or time or service, that's how they feel loved. We each need different things. In a way, we all love the five ways, but often there's one or two ways that are rise to the top for us where we most feel loved. And it's important to know our spouse or our kids or whoever to love them in the way that they need to be loved, not just the way that you do. You might be different from them, but the way they do, to speak their language. Well, Jesus is giving Peter and us his love language. We can tell him that we love him, but how does he know that we really do? By obeying him and loving others. We love him by loving them. And we all got different gifts that we can do to serve and love the Lord. But this is our mission, our reason. The Lord who grabbed a hold of my heart twice in Ecuador and then again at the Sea of Galilee reminded me of who I am and who he's called me to be. But what about you? It may be a little different. What has he wired and called you to do and to be? Not apart from him, but with him, in relationship of love. And like every relationship, we can say we love someone, but how do they know it? It's when we do. When we care about what they care about. What we do for the least of these, we really do unto him. This is how he knows we love him. When we love our wife, when we love that family and give to them, when we share of our time for others that he has called us to, when we spend time with him in the word and in prayer, or when we obey him in the little ways, even when we screw up again and we keep turning to him for forgiveness and help, when we teach that Sunday school class and we're not sure it's getting through, but we do it for him. He sees and he knows that we love him because we're caring about what he cares about. Peter would show his love for Jesus by living into the purposes Christ had for his life. From that day, he would return back to Jerusalem. He would lead his brothers with courage. Soon he'd be filled with the Holy Spirit. He'd begin preaching the good news in every town and village, teaching everything the Lord had taught him. They would begin to take care of orphans and widows, and the church of Jesus Christ would spread. It would not be overcome. Even though Peter would have to give his life to the Lord would be glorified in Peter's life. And the things the Lord began through him have now continued up to this very day with us. Jesus said, "Follow me." And that's really all we need to do. Fears and busyness and the things of this world will try to complicate it. But all we really need to do today is follow him. Boy, he loves us. He keeps coming to us to remind us of who we are and who he is. He's the filler of the nets. If we would just listen, trust, and obey him, won't you follow him? Have a wonderful Sunday.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To stay up to date with all of Bethlehem Covenant Church's information and events, head to bccwaverly.org.